Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
Stardust, as we like to call him. And then I have, Venerable Tom. Not only blessed yet. Blessed would be like one more step. We're waiting on blessed.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, well, Venerable Tom, we're so glad that you are here.
Don't hold your breath.
Tommy Doe, Ryan.
I'm glad you're here.
Number 58.
Uh-huh.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yes.
I know a lot of people aren't used to saying, I mean, literally, there's not a piece of Easter candy in a store to be bought. However,
you might want to just keep on
walking.
Yeah,
just keep walking. Keep walking past it. You know, there's, in the Lord's realm, you know, we speak of eternity, but when it comes to Easter candy, no, we do not speak of eternity. However, you can still come to the Drzemski household. Pardon me, frog in the throat. You can come to the Drzemski household, and you will still find Easter candy to be had.
Wow.
The things that are
gotta be jelly beans.
Well, you know what? This doesn't. Those little colored Krabby Patties. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They're like gummy. They're like SpongeBob, whatever. We have those. They're still in the packages. Still,
I'm sure they
there.
Are.
You know, when the kids were little, they liked those. But now, as they're adults, they're like, okay, you know, there's enough of that. Anyway, so in the United States and Canada, there are many people who this weekend will be celebrating the Ascension of our Lord. And then there are those that will be celebrating the Ascension of our Lord at the time the church first envisioned it, which would have been Ascension Thursday,
yep.
40 days after Easter. And so either way, happy Ascension, because this is the time of the church. When we talk about that, and there's some great readings, and we thought we would discuss really the impact or the importance of the Ascension and how we might view it, because a lot of people will look at the Ascension and go like, yeah, and? Because, well, Jesus is God, and so he overcame death, and he ascended into heaven. So we keep saying that, right? His suffering, death, resurrection, and Ascension. We'll put that into all the great things Jesus did, and we will sort of just say, well, he ascended, you know, and not really stop and ponder really what that Ascension means, mm-hmm. or should mean for us, I guess. And there's a couple things that I want to point out, but let me just, we're going to look real quick at, the gospel is from the Gospel of Mark this year, chapter 16, where basically it's the Great Commission from Mark. And it says that Jesus said to his disciples, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So that's kind of cool. And this is the point where you get to read and realize that, you know, you can start playing with rattlesnakes, apparently. although I do not advise this. There's more to it than that. It's a little more, I don't know, this is some gray area we have to be careful with in our faith. You know, Jesus made some promises, and I'm sure kept those promises, and people of great faith all through the centuries have read those lines. In fact, some in the hills of East Tennessee, there's some churches where they have some unique worship services. We'll just say it that way. The other reading that we read is the from the Acts of the Apostles, as we continue through the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season, is the first chapter of Acts, which of course is traditionally the authorship given to Luke, and this is traditionally viewed as sort of like the continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And so here it starts in the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. So there's a lot of stuff to digest here.
Yes.
There's stuff that is essentially fulfillment of prophecy. There is stuff, instructions for us, ways we can view this. You see, especially from those two readings, that that the men of Galilee then took the angels up on their, like, why are you looking up? And they went out and started preaching and teaching and doing all the things that Jesus told them that they were to do. And he had prepared them through those 40 days of instruction. So it's like really this big culmination. But I would imagine if there was time travel, this is one of those things where, like, I'd want to go back to the ascension. And I just want to be, like, just in the back of the crowd, like with those guys kind of there, and watch. I mean, like, and just see how this Jesus, who, you know, without the use of, like, a jetpack, just, like, blasts off, you know, into heaven. Because I don't think the apostles were prepared for that moment.
No.
Absolutely not. And it's cool, by the way, that we get to prepare for ascension and the liturgical celebrations, whereas they had no preparation at all. We're used to preparing for Pentecost as they prepared for Pentecost, but we get a head start on ascension. They get caught by surprise.
They say, whoa, stop. Are you? You know, and it's like they're talking to him as he's leaving.
Well, it's funny. Like Father Ben Bradshaw, a priest here in our diocese, he has a homily he often gives during the Ascension that stuck with me. I heard it one year where he says that Ascension is a time where we must dial down the drama, dial up the trust in God, and the basis for that and the link with the Ascension is this: that the apostles, the first time our Lord was taken, right, was his arrest, what do? They scattered, right? They ran, they panicked,
yeah.
Right? Now is another time where all of a sudden he's gone. Now, obviously, it's less scary than he's arrested and he's getting beaten,
right,
and is getting set up for crucifixion.
They'd already been through that when he ascended.
Right. They've already been through that at that point, and they have also walked alongside him for 40 days. But they probably, prior to the ascension, we're kind of thinking, like, we really made it. We're, you know, he conquered death. We're walking alongside the resurrection of the resurrected Lord. You know, nothing can stop us now.
Right,
you know,
and that's why they asked that question. All right, now is it time you're going to restore, like, the kingdom of Israel, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's what's next, right?
Right, right, exactly. And instead, he ascends, and you'd have to think, because especially since the Pentecost hadn't yet happened, that part of the flesh of at least some of the apostles had to be kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. And at the end of the day, what are they asked to wait for? They're asked to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which our Lord has been speaking of, you know, since the Last Supper, right? At the very least.
And he has been talking to them for 40 days.
Yes.
He may not have given them that detail about the jetpackless ascension, right?
Right.
And to some degree, though, it's interesting to me that, like, when those men of Galilee are looking up, there's a part of me that, like, wonders if, like, you know, if I would expect in the scripture for the men of Galilee are looking up, and then they would hear a voice from the heavens say,
Bet you didn't expect that, did
right.
you?
You know, because there's a because they are sort of like they're still in sort of like wonder and awe, just looking up. And I love the fact that the angels are so grounding in terms of like remember everything you were taught.
Yeah.
How many times do like people they like when the road to Emmaus? Mm-hmm. And then they recall later, like, remember how he opened up the scriptures to us and he told us all this stuff? So often Jesus will help them sort of see, like, this is what's actually happening.
Well, faith is the supernatural belief that what God reveals to be true is in fact true, right? And so to an extent, they're being called to be grounded in faith. You know, so yeah. much has been revealed to you through our risen Lord walking alongside you. And so stand in that, occupy that space.
And they don't see after the crucifixion, what do? They go to the upper room, mm-hmm. and their knees are knocking in the upper room, right? With the doors locked for fear of the Jews. That says it in the scriptures. Here they don't do that.
Right.
Here they do what they're called. And that's, again, that's a message for us, right? If we have any Jehovah's Witnesses out there, right, reading the New World Translation of the Bible, concerned about the next coming of Jesus, second coming of Jesus, when he returns, so much so that their church has always put a date on it mm-hmm. throughout history. We don't need to be fixated on that date. Jesus tells us not to. He tells them, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons, mm-hmm. right? You need to do the work of the Lord in his kingdom. You need to build up the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what you need to start to do. You need to preach the gospel. This is the kerygma. You need to share the kerygma with everybody that you meet, mm-hmm. right? And that's what those men of Galilee lines, that's what those angels are saying to them. It's like, remember, you've been prepared for this. You knew this was coming. You didn't know that was coming, but you knew what you were getting ready to do because Jesus said, how many times did he tell you that he was sending another counselor, right? Mm-hmm. That he was sending the paraclete. Right, he was going to give a good pair of cleats to wear mm-hmm. to prepare to do what you need to do.
Going to need them.
That's right. You're going to need them, and they do. And of course, all but one is martyred. Right? It's a kind of a rough road, but a joyous, a fruitful road because the church that we have today is a result of those 3,000 were baptized that day, and 1,000 were baptized that day, and so many came to know the Lord in this way, and the Gentiles were, you know, included, and this thing grew to the ends of the earth, the scriptures are telling us, because they were sent to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a thematic link, actually, between the ascension and Advent, which obviously that's not going to be until the beginning of the new liturgical year and at the end of this calendar year, right, in December. When we celebrate Advent, we're celebrating Christ coming to us in three ways, in history, in mystery, and majesty, right? And in history, coming to us in the incarnation, in our Blessed Mother's womb, and walking among us for those 33 days. In mystery, he comes to us in the Eucharist. You know, every Mass is a second coming. But he also comes to us in the most
majesty,
holy,
yeah.
But also just the Holy Spirit, the descent in the Holy right. Spirit, and fleshing his good news within us. You know, in majesty, he comes to us in the second coming, but that gets set up by he's ascending now. He'll be coming back on the cloud of glory. But if you think about that, between those two events is the Pentecost, right? Shortly after the ascension is the Pentecost, and he comes to us. The Holy Spirit is going to come to us, and the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to build Christ up in us, to help build us up in the Holy Spirit that Christ might live his life, death, and resurrection in our lives. So we share, by allowing God to enflesh the good news in us, we share in that incarnation, and we're built up in the Most Holy Eucharist in doing that as well. But in the Pentecost is an invitation to basically become a second coming of Christ in the lives of others, right? And so it's interesting on both that it's setting up that historical coming back in majesty, but it's also setting up that coming in mystery through you.
And there's some, we'll just say, spiritual Newtonian physics going on here as well.
Yeah.
You know, you heard the old expression, what goes up must come down,
yeah.
right? So what's in it for us? What do we need to be thinking about, and that is that Jesus will return, as you've mentioned, Sam, and all of the ascension, then you can look at it theologically as necessary, right, for Jesus to take his rightful place on the throne,
yep.
right, of majesty, to be there in right judgment of all of creation, all of the universe, all that's before him, right, all that is his. But for us, we need to live in that way. We need to live in the confidence that that our Lord, who would under his own power overcome death, under his own power be raised up to ascend into heaven, right? And we need to live with that same confidence that he will return. And why that's important, I think, is because you look at the world that we live in right now, and you can easily get a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And think like it's all lost. This is awful what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit there's a lot of things in the world that are awful. But you have to remember it is not all for naught. We should not despair, right? We don't want to suffer the sin of despair in this situation because we know that Jesus will come again. We know that all things will be made new, that Jesus will has redeemed us, is redeeming us, and will redeem us by his actions. And we're watching that process every year as we celebrate the suffering, the passion of the Christ, right? So the suffering, his death, his resurrection, and then his ascension, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what's so cool about all this is that Jesus, even though he left them, he does not leave them. You mentioned Eucharist. You mentioned, but also he sends them and promises them the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to carry us through, to allow us to do the work of the Lord, but also really to allow us to continue to have hope,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's so important to see all of this process. That's why it's important that we celebrate it anew every year on these anniversaries that the church lays out for us, so that we can rekindle what flame might have been put out by the world and the work of the world. And it's so devastating to see when people have lost hope, when people despair, when people give up, when in fact they should say this is all part of that passion. And that's why, again, the redemptive suffering, when we put ourselves, we connect ourselves to the passion of the Christ, when we offer our wants, our needs, our desires, our sufferings, our problems, our issues, all of those things, then in the same way, we can be part of his resurrection and have the hope of that resurrection, not only spiritually, but bodily eventually. And then certainly this ascension. Whenever I do like a reflection on the Holy Rosary and on these particular mysteries and talk about the ascension, you know, I always liken this to someone going like, look, the Lord ascended into heaven. Right, and you might think, well, whoop-de-doo, because he's God. Of course, he ascended into heaven. He takes his rightful place in the throne, and so the fact that he's God, he can do that. But what's that to me? Well, the reality is, like, you know what? If you realize that Jesus desired to be a man, to take on all of our human characteristics except for sin, he desired to be one of us in that profound way. That when we suffer, when he ascends, if we visualize ourselves, you know, it's a little bit of a visual exercise, granted, but just hold on to his cloak. Like, mm-hmm. and as he ascends, that lifts us up out of whatever doldrums, whatever's binding us, holding us down, and we break free under his power, right, in the ascension. So I look at the ascension as this sort of positive opportunity for me to be lifted up out of, like,
the mess,
right? And how it's easy for people to get in a despairing way, but, you know, the honest truth is if we just reach out a hand, mm-hmm. you know, like the hemorrhaging woman, just to touch his garment, and that we're healed in that just that little act of faith and reaching out and touching the garment, we're raised up. We're raised up with Jesus, you know? And then also, when we suddenly also realize that we're here on the earth and we're not in heaven yet, we have the Holy Spirit that comes down upon us. And this promise of the Holy Spirit is something I want to talk about that on our next show. But really, you know, all of this is meaningless without the gift of the Holy Spirit.
You know, with the ascension, some of us might ask ourselves, well, why did he have to ascend? Like, why couldn't he just stay around? Like, why? I mean, he's were the apostles wrong to say, are we going to take, restore the, you know, Israel here on earth?
Right.
Right. You know,
they think they got like skybox tickets at the big game.
Right. 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 But, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, Peter Kreeft, the philosopher and theologian, was asked, you know, why is it that God doesn't just sort of walk around? You know, it says in Genesis that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, right? Like, why doesn't he just continue to do that throughout all of history? And he's like, listen, if you knew for a fact that you were in the presence of God always, like he literally was just physically walking among you, and you knew that he literally could just obliterate you and obliterate all of existence, and you only exist just because, like, it's his whim, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, he desires that you exist, but he could unwill you if he ever did unwill you, right? Would we love him? Would we love him? And like, we at that point, where's the room for faith? Like, we would have fear, and we would submit ourselves to him. But the beautiful thing that faith creates is an opportunity, that faith and hope create is an opportunity for us to fall in love with him. You know, just in the ways you leap and Juliet leaps into the arms of Romeo, you know, we can fall in love. And so you have that link between faith, hope, and charity. Charity is, you know, faith is that supernatural belief that what God reveals to be true is true, and hope is that which helps conform our will with what we know to be true. But charity is friendship with God, right? It's friendship with God. You know, friends, friendship is between equals, and God has no equals, but he puts his divine life in us. This is from St. Thomas Aquinas, so that we may become friends with God because he has placed his divine life within us, and then we love as an expression of that. But it all begins with, you know, charity. It begins with that friendship with God. When does that happen? It happens at the Pentecost, right? And it happens, or in our baptism, you know, in subsequent times, you know, where the divine indwelling of the Most Holy Trinity begins within most of us. But within the history of the church, it's at the Pentecost where that begins, and it's an opportunity for that to begin anew within us, that friendship with God, born of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that is really what this season is all about as we are making our way through the rest of the liturgical year. We are living that out. We have an opportunity to live that out. That's what Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter have been preparing us for. And now it's up to us to either give our yes or not.
Yeah, exactly. And you said it so well in terms of, like, this idea of spreading the faith that Jesus, it was part of his plan that we would be involved in kindling, through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us, faith in others in the Lord. Right. And in the same way, I've preached about the Ascension a couple of times, and I've talked about, you know, my son Jared and teaching him how to ride a bicycle. Right. That as a dad, you walk alongside with your hand on the bicycle as you start to get up speed, and you're telling him to pedal. And it's OK because he has full confidence that you're, like, right next to him. And so he's like, yeah, he's pedaling, and you know, if you let go, he'd fall over. But the thing is, you get him going, get him, build his confidence, get pedal, and then all of a sudden he looks over to you, and you're not there, mm-hmm. right? Now, you're not far. You're really just kind of right behind him, and you're not far. But all of a sudden he realizes, like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I have been given the power by my dad to be able to ride my bicycle, and there's something beautiful about that. Now, do people fall? Do we take a turn too fast? Do we mess up a little bit? The reality is, yes, but there's dad right nearby to pick you up, put you back on that bike, and get you going. This is what Jesus wanted us to do in the church, that we need to pedal. That's what the angels are telling the men of Galilee. Y'all need to pedal.
Start pedaling.
Start pedaling and start going, because that's what you were called to do. This is Jesus' plan all along. If Jesus, as you mentioned before, you know, if the apostles could have hidden behind Jesus. If Jesus just stayed, like, whenever there was a bully in the playground, everyone's hiding behind Jesus because he's got this. The reality is, Jesus wanted us to be able to confront the bully and maybe convert the bully, help the bully to know that he's loved by God, and to share that faith and to spread that faith. And so that's what the Ascension needs to be to us. That's what we need to use this as an opportunity to revisit our own faith, our own belief, our own willingness to be part of sharing, spreading the gospel, of living the kerygma so that others can see this. The ascension is essentially, you know, we're preparing for the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to us at Pentecost, certainly. But we too have been instructed in the same way that the apostles were instructed for 40 days after Jesus's resurrection. They knew what to do next. They had this plan. Now, we don't know all of the instructions. We don't know what Jesus was specifically telling them, but we can gauge based on what they did immediately going out into the world, literally, in some cases, two by two, all over the world. And you see evidence of the apostles in India and all these places where they just went out and they shared the gospel, right? And to where this became the faith of humanity, right, given to us by God. So all of humanity are invited into this. Jesus wants us to participate in that process even today. And that's what the ascension tells us, that Jesus runs alongside us. And then when we look over and see, it's like he's kind of let go, and we're actually pedaling and we're actually moving this thing and making making things happen with his power, with his authority that's been given to us. So let's pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that we're in a state to receive that Holy Spirit to move mountains through the power of God. Let's pray and let's rejoice in the ascension as an opportunity for each one of us to go and to do what we are called. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.